I'd like to call the council to order, please, so we can begin with our agenda. Thank you so much for attending the Art for All at City Hall. I think it's always been a very, very popular event, and it really is a means of having our young people in the community become rather attuned to the needs for our cultural system and our way our culture functions in our community. And I think it's a tribute to the teachers as well for them to have these young people engaging in these activities. And some of them are very, very talented young people. It's just really amazing when we look at these pictures and these drawings. It's really, really neat. So if I can begin, I'd like to go to number two now, where we have to consider our consent agenda. And any items may be removed for discussion at the request of any aldermen or citizens.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
There's been a motion on the floor to approve and it's seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Let it be recorded that the motion has been moved favorably and unanimously. We will now go down to item 4A, which is to feature our department presentation. And this evening, we will be having the Administrative Services Department / Finance Division. And Mr. Weiss is that person that will be bringing forth this issue. So, Mr. Weiss, if you may be, you may begin.
Thank you. This presentation is to provide some insight into the Administrative Services Department, and in particular, the Finance Division. Tonight, we're going to concentrate on the utility billing function. Hopefully, we'll provide some information that you may not be aware of. We won't cover everything about utility billing, but we divided our presentation into three parts. We're going to talk about meters and meter reading, billing and the mail code, our outsourced company, and then finally, the collection of our utility bills. And Lori Johnson, who was a meter reader before she came into the finance department, will start first and talk about meters.
Okay. I'm currently the utility biller, and I was meter reading for 2 years prior to that. The beginning of the billing starts with the meter readers. We have three meter readers for the city of Geneva, and they read approximately 19,000 meters a month.
Wow.
We have some examples of the meters Don's going to show. The first one's an electric meter. We actually have six different electric meters, but this one we decided to bring because it's the most common. It's on the residential homes, and it's also the most difficult one to read. It's a five-digit meter. You always read it left to right. That's about it on that. No, it's
not. Not like your house, huh?
But it turned off the electricity.
Our second meter is a water meter. This water meter is in the basement of most homes. It's always in the home. And then we also have a remote. This is what the meter readers read, so they don't have to gain access to the homes.
Was that how that works?
So the remote is actually reading what's spinning downstairs in your basement.
It's outside.
Yeah, and it's outside.
Correct.
Just for the water.
Just for the water.
And at any time you have any questions, we'll be happy to answer.
Yeah.
The electric meter is outside, the water meter is in the basement, and the remote is out.
Right.
So they don't have to go into the house.
Finance department sends routes down to the MVRS system at Public Works when the routes are ready to be read. The meter readers use a handheld computer. They download it there, upload all the routes onto it. They all have certain routes that they read. No one, you know, they know their routes. They program their own routes within the reader. As they read them, they'll enter, the reader will give them the customer's name, address, and the electric meter number, and the water meter number. And as they go around and enter that, it'll bring up the next one on their route. So, you know, it may not even be just the next door neighbor, because maybe they programmed it to cut through a backyard to get to the meters. It, rarely are you walking on a sidewalk reading the meters, because they're all in the back, so you're cutting.
So it has a map on it?
I'm sorry?
Does it have a map on it, or no?
No, it's all in memory. Yeah, there's no map. The handheld does a lot of things for us in billing. If for some reason the meter reader cannot gain access to the meter and they have to skip it, they can put a skip code in, but they have to let us know why they're skipping. It could be because of dogs, it could be fences, gates locked, anything. Bushes are in the way. So they'll have a skip code that they enter so we know we're having problems getting in there. Then they're required to leave a skip card, which is the first thing in your packets that Don handed out. And basically what they do is they can enter their readings for the electric and the water. If they have problems, because these meters are difficult to read, they can just enter their information, the arrows, so the positions of the arrows within the dials. We'll read it then when we get the cards back. They're free to mail in. The city pays for the postage. A lot of people call it in, and a lot of people are emailing me their reads. So, and if they do come across homes that are covered with bushes and shrubbery, anything, meter readers have to gain access. So they have to leave the tag, which is your second one, the yellow tag. Just explains to the customer that we were there, we couldn't read, and you're going to be, you know, you will be estimated if we cannot get around those bushes. So they are required to leave those two things for the customer. Our third item is a map of the city of Geneva. And it's broken down by routes, which equal the billing cycles. Cycle one is the week, this is all weekly, we bill four cycles per month. The first one, cycle one in the green, that's always due to us. We bill out on the 15. Meter readers are due to us 1 week prior, so we have sufficient time to go through all the reports, make sure everything is fine. Because we do get a lot of skips, we do get errors, you know, they're human beings. And then so on. Two is always billed on the 22nd, cycle three is always billed on the 30th, and four is always billed on the 6th. Seven is city meters, so Don actually bills those when I bill the ones. After their handhelds are done with their cycles and all the reads, they bring it back to you, to the Public Works. They download all their information back into MVRS. Then we have the next route ready for them. It uploads the new route, and then that route is ready. They let us know in billing department we have our route done. It's complete, and we upload it then from the finance department, from the Public Works. And then it starts utility billing.
How many houses a day can they do?
You know, there's rough neighborhoods, not rough, but hard neighborhoods with gates locked, and it takes time to go through those. And then there's real nice ones, townhomes, that go real quick. But on an average, they read about 100 meters per hour. And by 4 to 5 hours, their feet are killing.
How many people do we have on the street doing this?
Three.
100 per hour?
100 per hour.
Wow. Yeah, two. Really, two?
Well, two, yeah, right now two. When I was working, it was three, and then now we're down to two, and then we split the third route, the third.
That's right. I do remember.
So, it's a lot of meters.
What is the normal lifespan of these meters?
You know, water meter, they have a great program with the water meters of changing them out. And they've been doing this program. I think they've held off now. But the electric meters last the longest. They can last 15 years, 20 years. And we will know when they stop by our reports coming in. We'll get zero usage. The meters are all designed to stop when they run into problems. So when I start seeing that zero usage is coming through, that's when we got to alert the electric or the water, whatever department it is. We think the meters has shut down.
What does one do if they find a discrepancy in the reading of their electric bill or their water bill and feel that it's
they can call it into
excessive
us.
Amount?
They'll call it into us, and we will have someone go out, recheck it, reread it, and verify. If it's a misread, then we'll do an adjustment on the billing.
Now, when you say call it into us, you mean the finance department, not the water department, not the electric department.
No, they call it into the finance department because they're disputing their bill. Call it into us. We will have the water department go out and reread, or the electric department, and then we'll adjust the bill accordingly. And if it is a valid read, then we try to help them figure out what it was. If it was a water leak, or if they, a lot of people add things and don't even realize what's generating their electricity bill up.
Very good. Are there any questions from any of the council members? Anyone? Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Mr. Singer. Don, just regarding the bill that you handed out.
I was going to get into that. That's the next part of the presentation.
Okay, well, I'll let you go ahead then. I'll ask.
Okay, all right.
I have a question on the first part.
Sure, go ahead.
Alderman, interject. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. The question was, could the city save money by reading every other month and estimating the in-between months? Because for the majority of our customers, I presume the usage is fairly predictable.
I don't know if that's a question that I can answer right now.
It's clearly over a year. It will make no difference. The integral amount you pay over a year will be the same whether every other month was estimated or not.
I'm sure there may be some savings made, but we've found in the past, because we always have the ability to estimate when we can't get reads. And last winter was a prime example. We had a terrible winter, a lot of snow, we were short a meter reader, and we had to do a lot of estimating. And we had a lot of complaints from our customers who do not like to get estimated reads. Sure, you can do it to save money. I don't know how much it would save. We'd have to do some kind of a study on that to see what it is. Currently, the meter readers are paid by the read. They're not an employee per se, so there is no benefits involved. They're paid by the reads only. That cost is, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I don't know how much you'd save in terms of monies, in terms as opposed to customer service, because we do get a lot of complaints when we...
As you're speaking, I understand what you're saying, but it just occurred to me that there is the other side of the coin, which is based on the yearly usage and your yearly consumption and the yearly cost of your utilities, it really wouldn't make a lot of difference whether you were read once a month, once every 2 months, or once a quarter.
No.
And you know, for people who budget reasonably and believe that the city can do a reasonable job on estimating their usage in between the readings, it will really make no difference averaged over a year, and the city would be in the position to save a very large amount of money if we billed once every 2 months instead of once a month. The postage alone...
Oh, you're talking about billing now.
I'm talking about reading and billing once every 2 months.
Well, I don't know about...
Considered by any cities that you know.
I don't know about billing, though, because you need that cash flow. We get billed every month for our electric from Exelon and PJM. They don't bill us every 2 months. They bill us every month, and there is a cash flow that's required to meet those payments. So
I can understand that, but again, it's a trade-off, and it would be interesting to see what the cost-benefit analysis of billing every 2 months compared to the amount of money one makes on the cash flow, because I know we have those monies invested in sweep accounts, which don't get a very large interest at this point. So it would be an interesting trade-off on the question of billing once a month versus once every 2 months. Anyway, that's something to consider in the future, and I'm
certainly
bringing it up as a possible to think about in the future.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Okay. After the meters are read, the second portion of our process is the billing. And as Lori mentioned before, we do have about 19,000 meters, but those convert to about 10,000 customers. And with four cycles, that relates to about 2,500 customers that are read every week. To give you some idea of the volume. And as Lori did state before, we bill on the same date every month. So cycle 1 bills on the 15th, cycle 2 bills on the 22nd, cycle 3 bills on the 30th, and cycle 4 bills on the 6th of the following month. Now, if you look at your, I gave them a copy of an actual bill, from an actual customer, one of your better customers, and I've highlighted certain things that I wanted to point out on this bill.
What are these late charges on this?
Why is it so cheap?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know. I wanted to find out.
But we do have
controls.
Yeah, I see that.
But anyway, I wanted to point out the customer account number. This is kind of a unique thing. The first two digits tell you the cycle that the customer is in, so it'll tell you the month, the time of the month you're billed. So that's kind of unique on the account number. I wanted to point that out. And then I did highlight in the center, it shows the billing date, which is the 15th, and then the due date, which is 20 days after the bill date. After the meter readers download to their the PC at Public Works, we transfer the reads to our software and the finance department via the internet, and then we run our exception report to look for errors where we can see them, and then we run our billing and make sure that it looks good. It's kind of an eyeball thing compared to the history and stuff. And once we're satisfied with the bill, we send that billing cycle to Mailco. That's our outsourced mailer. They print the bills and then mail them. So it's all done outside. It's at this time when Mailco prints the bills that we have the ability to put an insert in the bill. And I also included after the bill a copy of the current insert that we've put this month, which is a leaf. So we have the ability to put an insert in the bill, and we also have the ability in the body of the bill to put up to three lines, which we use for memos and stuff like that. We try to fill those in every month. Ron Singer asked before about if there's a problem with a bill. A customer can call in, and we also fill out a service request if there appears to be a problem with the bill. And that's the last, this is the sheet after the insert. That's a sample of the service request. We send this directly to Public Works. They send out the appropriate department, either the water department or electric department. They check the read or whatever the question may be, and then we get these back the next day, and then we can make a correction to the customer's bill and send them a corrected bill or notify them if everything appears to be correct. And that's basically the billing portion of our process. Any questions on that? Ray?
Thanks, Don. Couple things. I think you do a nice job in presenting to the customer what it is they're being charged. A couple things that I've noted is there a way to actually identify what the per kilowatt hour charge is?
No, that's in the rate ordinance. You can find that on the website. We don't have the actual rates on the bill. This is a multiplied bill, but the rates are on the website in the ordinance.
What is the, just for the people watching, what is our actual kilowatt?
It varies depending on the customer class. The type of meter triggers what we bill. So a residential customer, this electric meter, which is basically for electric customers, it's a very simple, it only has kilowatt hours on it.
Right.
So that's the basic residential rate, and it's also the same for businesses that don't have demand. Then we also have demand meters that trigger us into a higher rate code. So there's like three or four different rate codes, so I can't really tell you off the top of my head what each one is, but they're spelled out in the ordinance in the code on the website. So.
And then lastly, age-old question, and that is, as it pertains to the water and sewer services, the water usage and the sewer usage amount is the same.
Yes, because the sewer is based on the water that flows into the house. We have a meter for water going into the house, so the sewer is over. That's how the rate code was set up. The sewer is based on the water that's read through the water meter.
So the sewer is the water, the amount of water that's going into the house.
Correct. That's how the rate was set up.
So if somebody waters their lawn excessively.
Correct.
There's
they're charged for that on their sewer.
On the sewer as well.
That is correct. And that has been discussed in the past when we've done rate studies and stuff, and this is the rate as we are using it now.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions on the billing portion?
I have one, Don. Thank you.
Sure.
Let's say there's a customer that's going to be out of town for a couple of months, gone south or 2 or 3 months to escape the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, I would presume they might notify you, or would you send their bill to their southern address at their request?
They do. Depending on what the customer chooses, the address that's up here is not the service answer. And in case of this customer, the mailing address is the same as the service address. The service address is down here. That's where the actual meters are. Okay. But some of our customers have their bills mailed somewhere else. So we have the ability to put a different address to where to mail the bills.
Right.
People that go to Florida, say in the winter or somewhere in the summer, they do that. They just have to know to call us when they come back so we can change that bill, mailing
address. How far in advance do they have to notify you?
Before their bill.
Oh.
Anytime up till the point we bill is when we can make changes to their account.
So it's the 15th?
So if they're cycle one and they bill on the 15th, they can notify us right up till the time we do an actual billing. We have that ability.
Alderman March, do you have a question?
I found my answer. Thank you.
All right. Yes, Alderman Dantino.
How do the late notices work? I know there's some sort of leeway.
I will get into that in the next part quickly, and then you can ask that if I don't touch it in our presentation.
Sorry,
oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. We try to anticipate what you might want to ask.
Okay.
Anyways, the last portion of our presentation is the collection, which is, of course, the difficult portion of our bill. But bills are due 20 days after the bill date. If bills are unpaid at this time when they're due, then we assess a 10% penalty, which is on the electric portion only of their bill. And to help our customers make their payments, we offer various payment options for them. They can check in the mail is the most common. That's where most of our customers pay. But they can also come in person to our window or City Hall and pay by cash, check, or credit card. We have 4 Dropbox locations around the city where they can drop off their bills. They can do credit card over the phone. We have the ability to do credit card on the internet, on our website, if they choose that. And last but not least, there is direct debit. And if you look at this customer again, who is an excellent example, if you look at the very line in the bottom line that I highlighted, it says total due, your account will be automatically debited. This notifies a customer that they've chosen the direct debit portion, and they don't have to worry that their account will be debited to the account they notified us about. And this gets to your point. If after this time they still haven't paid us, then we send out a reminder notice. It's called a past due notice. And that is the last insert that I handed out. And we send those out if there's accounts still past due. And if they go beyond that and they haven't, if they fail to pay and they haven't notified us at all, then we go into the disconnection process, which entails mailing a yellow tag, we call it, which actually is mailed to their home, gives them a certain amount of time which they have to pay by or they will be disconnected. And that is electric only that we disconnect. And that's kind of it in a nutshell. I know we didn't cover everything, but hopefully it's been for any other questions about utility billing and the finance department.
Don't you have, can you shut off their electricity in the middle of winter?
No. Several years ago, we changed that ordinance so that when the weather temperature gets below 20, then we stop. And we usually stop around December 1st every year anyways, because then it consistently stays below 20. So we actually stop the process until the spring. And there's also a thing in the summer, I'm sorry, Mary, for heat, too. So we in the summer when there's extreme heat, we do not disconnect, too.
Okay. Yeah, I knew there was some rule or guideline that you were...
Well, we set that ourselves.
Yeah.
Alderman Marks?
Yeah, I just had one comment, a question and a comment. How long have we been taking automatic debits?
2 years?
Probably 10 years at least.
Really? Because yeah. I will tell you, I never knew that.
Oh.
And I would recommend that maybe you put that at the bottom of the bill just once. You know, we're available for automatic debit because...
Yeah, there is a form.
Yeah, I found it on the website.
It's on the finance website. You need to fill out the form, include a canceled check.
Yeah. And I think a lot more people would use that, seriously. Because I did not realize until I saw that bill in the packet that we had that option.
Okay.
So
may I segue from his perfectly legitimate comment, which is you clearly have a line reserved for notifying people that their account has been automatically debited. For people who don't have that, you could instead on that line insert a statement that automatic debit is available at a certain, please call a certain number.
Unfortunately, a lot of the bill is hard-coded, and that line is hard-coded. The only place we can insert a message is in the middle, and that's three lines. So it would be nice to have that leverage in our bills and the ability to make changes, but we don't, because a lot of the bill is hard-coded. And a lot of this bill is pre-printed to save money, too. Some of the colors and everything.
So. Are there any other questions?
Darcy. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just had a comment. We have had requests from our customers for electronic billing as opposed to mailing these bills out, and our accounting software does not have that capability. We've looked into this, and at this point in time, the software that we use, which we purchased about 12 mm-hmm. years ago, I believe, mm-hmm. And we've bought updates, you know, throughout the years, but it does not have that capability. It's an accounting package, so it's not just utility billing, but there's the accounts payable, the ledger, the general ledger, payroll. It's all interconnected, so we need to look into upgrading that, and obviously that would be one of the options that we would want included, but with the software that we use right now, they just don't have that capability. So just wanted to let everybody know that we have looked into that.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. That's really good to know, because I know that some people do ask that question. Can I just go back to the shutoff? And mm-hmm. I just wanted I know that you know more about what different types of organizations, but there are organizations out there, I know for a fact, that you can give the ratepayers information on that will help them?
We do that. We give out, we have two or three, LIHEAP and Salvation Army, and we offer those. That information to people whenever they call in, when they want to make a payment plan before they get the disconnection.
Great.
So we always have provided that in the past.
Great.
Are there any questions? Oh, yes, Alderman
Brown.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Singer. The question, you mentioned disconnect on the electric, and could you remind the council why we decided not to disconnect on that's costing the city?
How do you mean costing the city?
Well, do you have any idea of whether this is a big problem that we're not disconnecting water?
No, because most of our customers have electric. Water is alone is rare. So I don't know how that started. That's been going on since before I started working here. So I can't answer that why we do that. But cities that only sell water do disconnect water, and so I don't think that's an issue. I think we just chose to disconnect the electric portion.
More likely to get their attention with lack of electric?
Yes. I've been told something about houses being uninhabitable if there's no water for a health issue, but I'm not sure that's a reason we don't do that, but I've been told that fact in the past. It makes a house uninhabitable if there's not running water.
Thank you.
Sure.
Are there any other questions?
Thank you.
None. Well, thank you, Don and Laurie.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Laurie.
Very nicely done.
Okay, item 4B, we are to consider requests from Children's Benefit League to solicit donations at places of business in the city of Geneva for the annual Tag Day, which will be held on Friday and Saturday, April 16th and 17th of this year.
So moved.
Second.
Motion was made and seconded. All those in favor, or any questions on the issue? Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? But if we recorded that the voting was unanimous. Thank you. Item 4C, We are to consider the request by Fox River Geneva Post 75 to solicit donations at places of business on Saturday, November 14th, 2009.
So moved.
Second. Motion is made.
Second.
Seconded. Any question on this issue? None. All those in favor of the issue, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Let it be noted that the vote was unanimous. Item 4D, we are considering the approval of special use in B3 Business District to allow a restaurant / cocktail lounge at 317 South 3rd Street, which is the Liberi Bistro. Richard Huber is the petitioner.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any question on this issue? All those in favor? I'm sorry. Anyone in the audience?
Sir, actually, sir. You said 317 is actually 227.
Oh. Yeah, the agenda says
it is 227.
The memo says 227.
Yeah.
The memo does say 227. Okay, do we need to amend the...
So amended, Mr. Mayor.
So amended. Second. Need a second. All those in favor of the amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Thank you, sir, for the correction. So, we may go on now to 4E.
We didn't vote.
Consider...
We need them right
away. We need a vote on the item 4D.
Or any discussion?
Or is there any discussion on it other than what has just been broached? All right, then I guess we'll need a vote on that issue. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Let it be recorded that the vote was unanimous. All right, we go down to 4E. We are to consider the approval of special use for planned unit development and preliminary / final planned unit development plan for redevelopment of property located at 700 and 702 East State Street for restaurant use. Nick Nicoloia is the petitioner. Any question on that issue from the council members?
A motion.
The motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second. All right. Is there any question on the issue from the council members? From the audience?
Mr. Mayor, will there be a presentation?
Is it necessary? Would you care for the petitioner to speak to the issue?
Was not planned.
Can be done. Is the petitioner here? I think they are. Would you like to come up and tell us a little about what your proposition is?
Well, we're trying to open a restaurant and where the rib how it used to be, and it's been a long process, and we've done a lot of work, and my engineer, he can explain a lot more of what we're trying to put together over there.
Okay.
Excuse me, is this the property that used to be a restaurant?
Yes.
It was the Rib House.
Rib House.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. That explains a lot. Thank you.
This is right.
Oh, it's straight for you or something.
I'm just bringing up, there's a site plan up here real quick.
Mr. Nicolau, the reason I ask is we've been watching the renovation continue for quite some time, and you've done a very nice job, and there's a lot of anticipation with what you're bringing to that part of town, and a lot of excitement. So the reason I ask is just so that the people who are watching at home and the rest of us can get a better understanding. We have the information in our packet, but it's often better understood from the applicant to hear what you have planned. And if you could do that, that would be great.
Thank you very much.
Sure. I'll touch real quickly on just some of the components of the site plan. My name is Ken Heen. I work for SEC Group. We prepared the civil and landscaping plans for the site. And I'll go through this real quickly here. There's the site location. I have a brief aerial photograph. It's located on the southeast corner of State in Sandholm. Sorry for the clarity there, but that was the best we had available from an aerial standpoint. The existing property, there's two lots that are under consideration here, and there's two buildings that are located on the property. One of them is a small one-story retail located on the east side of the site, and on the west side of the site is the converted two-story residential home. It's been previously converted into a restaurant, and I think what's proposed is to upgrade it, renovate it into a nicer restaurant. Currently, there's four access points on the site. There's two on State Street, two on Sandholm, and what we're proposing to do is eliminate two of those access points. So there's one main access on State Street and one main access on Sandholm. We're working with IDOT to secure that full access point. We've got their preliminary approval at this point. There is going to be a full improvement to the parking area. Right now, there is no parking designated. It's just a gravel mix of broken up asphalt. So what's proposed is to fully reconstruct and provide approximately 23 stalls. The other component that's going to be improved is a full landscaping package, all in compliant with the landscape ordinances. A big part of that is also going to be an improvement along State Street. There, as you probably all know, there's a State Street streetscape plan that's been in effect for a while, and we're going to improve our part of that. The owner has agreed to dedicate the necessary right-of-way and also reconstruct the sidewalk across the frontage. It's going to have the brick ribbon along the edges and have a little bit of green space between the back of the curb and the sidewalk. Another large component is the bioswale on the south perimeter of the site. This is part of our stormwater management. The stormwater is going to run off and filter towards the south side of the site. It's going to be planted with deep-rooted native vegetation that's going to help filter out some of the pollutants. There'll be an 8-foot high wood fence on the south to provide some screening to the adjacent resident. There's also going to be a full renovation, obviously, to the exterior of the building. I think you've already seen some of that, and also to the interior. The larger renovation is going to be a reconstruct of the deck on the back, and there'll also be a construction of an ADA ramp at the front of the building to provide ADA access. I guess the fifth and kind of final phase of this project is going to be a demolition of that existing one-story retail property or building on the east side. The owner is requesting a three-year period to keep that building up, and when we reach that three-year period, it'll be demolished and provide an additional four or five parking stalls. Those are the kind of basics of the site, so I guess I'll quickly turn it over and see if there's any questions.
Is there any concern regarding the illumination of the property in the evenings as it being in any way intrusive to the residents that live reasonably close to that property area?
Well, it's not going to be a late night restaurant. It's going to be an early. It's a small dining diner place. No bar. No. I don't think it will be any. Any concern, to the neighbors.
I see.
That's not the kind of place.
But you've also taken steps to reduce the illumination by lowering the poles and...
We have lowered the poles. We're working on some changes to the photometric plan right now to put some screening on there.
We're still
trying to make sure we have 0-foot candles at the property.
Good. Very good. Yes, Alderman Pollack.
Mr. Nicolou, what is the name of the restaurant going to be?
Riganato.
One more time?
Riganato.
Riganato. And when do you anticipate it opening?
Hopefully in about 6 months.
6 months. Okay.
And the cuisine?
With help, of course.
Mediterranean. And the cuisine will be?
I'm sorry?
The cuisine will be? What?
It will be a kind of cuisine for... everyday guy, we're going to have sandwiches, we're going to have steaks, seafood, pizza, a very unique menu to accommodate, the everyday guy.
A family restaurant, too?
Family restaurant, yes.
Wonderful. We look forward to it.
Thank you very much.
Ask one more question, Mr.
Alderman Pollack.
Thank you. Sir, have you had previous restaurants?
I've been in the business for 37 years.
So you're new.
There's nothing. I know what I'm getting into.
Very good. Well, we're looking forward to having you.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward.
Thanks.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions from the council members? Anyone else from the audience? A motion has been made and seconded. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Let it be recorded that the motion passed unanimously. Thank you, gentlemen.
Congratulations.
And good luck.
Thank you very much.
We are now down to item 4F. We are to consider the consultant services with Inside Graphics for website redesign for GenevaDowntown.org at a cost not to exceed $9,000.
Move approval.
Motion has been made. Looking for a second?
Second.
And seconded. Any question,
Daily?
Yes, Mr. Piper.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Singer. I'm not sure who to direct this to.
Ellen. Yes.
Ellen.
Ellen is here.
Ellen, is this something we absolutely have to do right now?
Yes, and it's paid for through hotel motel funds.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We've maxed out the site. We can't promote, I think, in the manner that the city really deserves with graphics and photos, and it will add a lot of functionality to the calendar, allow us to send automatic emails, so it's going to create a lot of functionality in the site through some new technologies.
I was more concerned about where the money was
coming from.
Yeah, it's Hotel Motel.
And that site is not the city site. It is the site that our department maintains purely for tourism and outside visitors.
Okay. Thank you.
Is the money there, Ellen?
Yes.
Okay.
And the monies that come in through the hotel motel are targeted. They have to be used for tourism purposes.
Yeah, I just wanted to be certain that the money was already there.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, we did carry some funds over from last year. I was new to the department, and I had the choice. I could have just paid for advertising and used it, and I went to Mary and said, I want to get my arms around this first. So we carried some funds over for the year. I didn't want to just spend money to spend it.
Thank you. Thank you, Ellen. I think we definitely need it, but I was surprised at the price, because the last website we saw, the film festival, was $5,000. But obviously this is more interactive. You're saying it's going to have a lot more features than just be a beautiful website?
It's going to be a lot bigger, because it's going to have, right now we have all the, we have a listing of every business in town. We have a calendar of all the events. We're going to create a new RFP page for tourism, for the group business. They come in to a community. There's a standard RFP page that's used in the industry where a meeting planner says, this is my meeting, this is the date, this is the number of rooms, give me a price. And so that comes in, and the chamber will link to that directly also. They can't afford to put it on their site now. But then the hotels can then respond, hopefully receiving some group business. What else? The film festival website is much more static. It's one event.
That is what I wondered. So that's what builds up the price, all that interactive and different layers of it.
Right. And quite honestly, Jamie Heflin in our department has the ability to build it. We don't have the time. She only works 19 hours a week. So what we're going for is a new shell design where we'll be able to add content and add pages in the future. We'll be able to load content. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, thank you.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you. Will she be able to update it then after the
West?
So this is the initial cost, and once it's built, you will be able to take it in-house and manage it.
Right. That's the goal. With your background, if you see anything, please let me know.
I'll try.
Okay.
Yeah, city administrator.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just for everyone's reference, we updated the city website about 4 years ago or so, and that was $8,000 then. So, and it's much more interactive now than it was at that point in time. So, relatively speaking, this is not an outrageous price for building, rebuilding an entire website.
Well, and it sounds like it is perfect for the hotel motel tax, because it will really benefit the hotels and motels. So that's great. I just wondered.
It ties into everything we're doing. All our ads drive to that website. The trade show booth that we did last week for the meetings market, everything drove to the website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think it's smart to use your dollars for advertising in a spot where people use the internet so frequently. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's like a no-brainer.
We get good hits. Since Jamie started, the hits to the site have doubled. So We track them. I think I put them in your monthly reports now and then, but we do monitor that, and we watch what people click through to, and yeah.
Thank you, Ellen. Any more questions from the council members? Anyone from the audience? A motion has been made and a second has been made. Those in favor, please approve by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Let it be recorded that the vote was unanimous. We are now on 4G. We are to consider the removal of exemptions and addition of exemptions for certain non-residential and residential parcels in special service area number 1 and authorize certified filing of such with Kane County Clerk.
So moved.
Motion made by Alderman Mark, seconded by Alderman Brown. Question, Alderman Vogelberg.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. I need to recuse myself on this matter.
Very good. Any questions from the council members? Anyone from the audience? Yes, ma'am. Please come up and let us know your name and your address, please.
As a way of introduction, my name is Alfreda Karsh. Good evening, Honorable Pro Tem, Chairman, and the committee members. I'm the owner of 215 and 213 South 3rd Street. I want to thank Mr. Evans, I don't know him, if he is here in the audience, for sending me the letter to know that this meeting is being held. I've been a resident of Geneva since 1986, and this is the first time I've been notified of any of the passage of these special area services. Frankly, I would like to have some definition of what these services are. I don't know if you people know exactly where my properties are. I'm located directly in the center of Block 69, which is the original old town of Geneva. I have businesses and neighbors all around me. In other words, I am landlocked. I'm in the center of the block. I have easements going out to 3rd Street and out to Campbell. Most people don't know I'm there. In a way, it's kind of nice. I have a place all of my own. I'm right downtown, and if you're on 3rd Street, you probably pass the driveway. That would be the entrance to my property. From reading through this attachment that Mr. Evans sent along, this is either the third or fourth renewal time of the special service area. Is that correct? There have been previous times. January of 1979, January of 1985, October of 1996, and this would be the fourth time for renewal. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Mr. Evans can come up and
yes.
Address all of your questions.
Your issue will be addressed. Are there any other remarks you'd like to?
Yes, I would like to say my property, which includes two parcels, are not mentioned in any of the exemptions, although when I spoke to Mr. Evans, he did say that my house at 215 was considered for exemption, that since the time I have lived there, I've done nothing but be a resident, hopefully a good resident of the city of Geneva. I enjoy my life here in Geneva, and I'd like to continue to the rest of my days. I approached the subject of the property at 213 South 3rd, which is mine, and directly contiguous to the north, which is also dedicated commercial. However, it's an empty lot. So now how can it be designated commercial when there's nothing there? It's just a piece of land with grass and wild strawberries growing on, and as I've been told, a deer has visited there, among rabbits and raccoons, squirrels and birds, etc. So I would like to have both of these pieces exempted. since there is nothing going on commercially.
All right. Paul, would you like to come up and express your views on this issue, please?
Mr. Evans.
Thank you. We're here again for to look at some of this SSA. And
Paul, would you please explain to us who and what your situation is here in the city?
My name is Paul Evans. I'm within the Economic Development Department, a business development specialist, and I'm working with a committee, our internal committee, for a review of our special service area number one, which deals with the parking, construction, maintenance, and facilities of parking within the downtown.
Thank you, sir.
The review that we had, we looked at all the parcels, and in Mrs. Karsh's instance, her parcel is located in the middle of the block, and it is sort of difficult to find, but she has two separate parcels. One that tonight that we notified her for was the fact that the one that her house sits on, we're recommending that that be exempted from the SSA taxes. She has another lot that's contiguous that she was explaining. She has another lot contiguous to that that is a vacant lot. There is no structure on that lot. And because they're not consolidated as one lot, we're considering that a vacant lot. It's zoned B3. In the future, it would own single-family residential is not a permitted use on that lot. So it would only be, under its current zoning, would only be used for commercial uses in the future. So we think, and plus its highest and best use, it's most likely that it would be used for commercial ventures in the future. Plus, in addition to that, this lot is also has an easement on it that businesses along Third, they access the back of their property through this lot. So it's sort of already allowing some commercial on that lot. So that was the reasoning that we had behind that particular parcel.
So
I can go into others.
Can I ask a question, please?
Sure.
Even though it's zone B3, it is currently being assessed as a vacant piece of property, is it not?
Yes.
So the assessment must be very low on it.
It is.
Yes. But at the moment, the SSA 1 tax does apply to that assessment as a vacant property.
Correct. And it actually applied to her residence ahead of our review of this, and then we said it didn't make any sense because the actual use of the parcel where her house is residential.
So we're reducing the... We're eliminating the SSA number one tax on her house, which is an occupied residence, but you are recommending that we don't reduce it on the piece of property, which is a vacant piece of property, which has minimal commercial use at the moment, as an
correct.
Access to the back of commercial buildings.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Yes, please, go ahead.
I would like to supplement what Mr. Evans has said. The two parcels that I own have double easements, one for the residence that I live in to go out to 3rd Street and to Campbell, and same for the adjacent lot. Now, the owner directly west of me, which owns the building at 217 South 3rd Street, which is on facing the street, also has an easement over my property, and only to the extent that there is a small piece of real estate that is owned on Campbell Street, which gives that particular owner the right to go over my property. So that is why they have an 11-foot easement, because this piece of property is between the piece of property that Mr. Chaudine owns and the piece of property that the attorney to the east owns. Apparently, when that house was sold last year, this small piece of property enables the owner of 217 South 3rd to come from Campbell Street, make an L-shaped, and go out to 3rd Street. And this is the reason why they have an easement over my property to the north and then make the L turn going west out to 3rd Street. This is, as we have said before, a very unique piece of property. And I actually would like to know more of the history of the property, but it was there. I also have on the north side of the parcel that's closer to Campbell Street some kind of a city sewer, which I don't know if there was a drainage system going through before Third Street was remade or dedicated or whatever. Probably the Historical Society may or may not have knowledge of why that is there. I would appreciate knowing some more information on that. But both of these parcels that I own have been residential. I've used them for residential since I've been occupying my house since 1986. And as I said before, I would like to have some definition as to what the special services are specifically that I was being assessed for all these years. If I could have some definition on that.
Certainly, I think that could be done.
So I think, actually, my property and myself have fallen through the cracks somewhere as far as getting benefits, like renovation of Third Street with new sidewalks and bricks and all that. There was no way that anything was improved on my property for which I was being taxed in a special service area.
The purpose of the special service area number one is for public parking, both on street and off street within the downtown area. In addition to that, we also have a minor amount that we use for snow removal and beautification too. But the main purpose that we have is establishing parking in that district, and we have purchased parking lots, improved parking lots, and also enforced for on street parking too within the downtown. And that's those are all done with under the special service area number one.
I wonder if it might be might necessitate us at this point in time to explain to the audience as well as the viewers as to the reasons why we have moved in this direction of making this particular change in the special service area one.
As far as why we're undertaking what we're doing now?
Yes.
Well, we want to for the SSA, we wanted to do an analysis of the flows of the SSA, what's the cost and what's the services being provided. So we did really an exhaustive study through our committee and looked at every parcel and found out whether it's being assessed or it's not being assessed, what its use is, and in that way then we were able to realize whether it should, you know, should be, and that's what the point of our study was, whether it should be in the SSA and it's being taxed as that, or it should be exempted because it's a residential or governmental use.
And is it not correct that we assume that the costs that we have incurred in servicing the SSA has been in excess of what we are actually receiving in the tax dollars?
That is correct. The SSA, currently the city subsidizes the SSA or puts in a general fund about $100,000 into the SSA, and the SSA itself is about $100,000. It generates it from property tax, and then the city is from its own coffers. The general fund has been subsidizing, at least in this last year, $100,000.
Very good. Thank you. Are there any questions from any of the council members? Anyone else from the audience wish to address this issue?
Mr. Mayor, I would just ask that perhaps...
Excuse me, Mr. Pollack, an audience member would like to come forward, then I'll certainly address your question. Please tell us your name and your address.
Okay, my name is Donna Faye Evanson. I live at 28 South 6th Street. That's a corner of James and 6th. And 5.5 years ago, I bought this property as a business. B2 it was zoned. And then last year, it was changed to BJ2. So it was less of a business property. Now I get this notice that they're going to tax me as a business owner, and I live, what, four blocks away from the main downtown area, and I do have a small home-based business, and my people park in my driveway.
I don't really have a lot to do with what's going on in the downtown area. I'm kind of on the border. I just want to know if I could be exempt instead of non-exempt.
Okay. Paul, can we address the issue here, please?
I think in the prior round of SSA review that we had another resident, too, that was saying, could we look at it partially? And I think the answer was the type of tax that we're doing, I believe, is an ad valorem tax, and that we look at the value of the property, and then it's applied and administered by the county. You know, we put in our information, they basically administer. If we were to do a different route of a different way of assessing these properties and as far as the amount, then it would get into a lot more administrative on our part and create us to have to track the use and everything. So it's a common way that we do it right now.
All right. Ellen.
I just want to make a comment. In your packet, this is the map of the district that was first carved out in 1979, and it shows the SSA is going one block north and one block south of State Street. So that designation's been around for 20 years. The ordinance reads that any property used partially or wholly for business use will have the tax applied to it, and that's what's going on with both of these parcels. Mrs. Karsh's parcel's a little bit different to me than Mrs. Evenson's because it's an easement to another commercial property. I think that might warrant some discussion, but the home-based business that Mrs. Evenson owns qualifies as we've looked at all the other parcels because it is partially used for business, and that business does benefit from a commercial zoning in downtown Geneva, Illinois. So it'd be hard to run a business like that in the center of, let's say, Fox Run and get the same notoriety or business location benefits. So just
I'd like to refer to Alderman Pollack. Thank you, Ellen.
Sure.
Thank you, Alderman Singer. Mrs. Karsh, I listened to the explanation, and frankly, I don't know that your question was answered. You're asking for your property to be exempt because it's a residential piece of property within the commercial business district, correct?
Right.
Mrs. Karsh, would you please come up to the microphone?
Yes. According to the letter that I received from Mr. Evans, he did say that they were suggesting my residence at 215 would be exempt. However, the parcel right north of it would not be exempt. It's an empty lot. It has not been used for anything except, I said, just some green area, which I like, being that I'm surrounded by buildings and residents all around me and being located in the center of the block. I kind of like a little bit open space.
Okay.
And I also am under the impression that B3 can be residential and or commercial, that I would have a choice. Being the property owner, I am using it as a residence. And if it were not for the piece of property on Campbell Street that my neighbor to the west at 217 would own, they have access to their property from 3rd Street to the parking area in back of that building, which is parking area between 217 and my house that accommodates the tenants in that building. So were it not for the technical piece of that little property on Campbell Street, which is very minute, there would be no reason for them to have an easement to go over my property.
Right. With us in the back of the room is Mr. Unch, and I think he's just dying to shed some light on this.
I just wanted to, just as a point of clarification, just wanted to, B3 zoning does allow residential use, but on the areas above the first floor. So it'd be commercial uses on the first floor, and apartments can be located above on the second floor. The fact that the residential use exists means that it's a non-conforming use if it's a residential use that's on the first floor of the structure.
Now, it appears that Mrs. Karsh's residence at 215 does not have a business above or below. It's just your primary residence, right? And the adjacent lot is an empty lot.
Right.
So she should be exempt from the SSA.
Correct.
Okay. So do you want to give her your card so she can talk to you about it?
Well, I mean, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I can give it.
No.
Except on one, but it does not.
But the empty lot is not.
Which empty lot's not?
The empty lot is not.
The house would be exempt.
The house is exempt,
but the empty lot is not.
The empty lot is not.
The empty lot is not because it's zone B3.
So is my rest.
But the B3 the residence is zone B3 and it's a legal non-conforming use, so it's being totally used for residential purposes, but it's non-conforming.
Yeah, so that should be exempt then.
Right.
That is exempt.
It will be. It will be.
It will be. Recommendation.
It will be.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Can I have a clarification on that? Then the empty lot is or is not.
Is
considered to be exempt.
Is no.
It's not exempt.
It is not exempt. And now you're going to ask why, right?
Okay. Even though it's not being used.
It's not being used as a business, and there's nothing on it. So why is it not exempt? Right. And the answer is because it's zoned B3, and as a result of that, it will not be exempt. Correct.
Yeah. Additionally, as Paul Evans was saying, is it has easements running across it that serve commercial businesses.
But it,
well, as I explained, the only reason for your interpretation of commercial would be the ownership of that one small piece of land on Campbell. The commercial buildings do have access to their properties and would not have to go over my property in order to access their buildings. Can I make myself clear?
Whether they use the easement or not is not the point. If the easement exists, it's right. Registered against the title, presumably.
Can't she disallow the easement to?
Excuse me, Alderman Dantino, did you have a question, sir?
My question was asked already.
Was asked. And then we have Alderman Flanagan?
No, right. I'm sorry.
Alderman Mark.
Is the ordinance written the use of it or the zoning of it?
Zoning.
Its use, I thought, was. I guess that's my question. Is what does the ordinance read?
Correct. It is regarding the use of that, and certain property is exempted because they're governmental, charitable, residential type uses. And then the rest of it within the district, commercial type uses are within the district. And really, the clarification on this vacant parcel is it's not connected. If it were such that it was consolidated with her house, then it would all be one lot, and then we would consider that to be a residential use. This is a separate lot parcel from her house, and that's a vacant, and the likelihood in the future when it would be redeveloped is it would be developed as a commercial parcel. That's why. It's a separate vacant parcel. It does have an easement. It does allow some access to her, the rear of her parcel, but it's vacant right now, and its future use would most likely be commercial. I mean, a parking lot or something for adjacent or expansion of adjacent.
But how does the ordinance read? Because I'm a little.
The tax applies to all
properties
in the district except those that are exempt. And we are considering tonight whether to add some exemptions and whether to subtract some exemptions. But the tax applies to all properties.
Yeah, here's that area. Here's the pertinent. These properties are exempt until such time as these properties are changed or converted whole or in part to commercial use, either by conversion or to commercial zoning or residential zoning with a special use for commercial or office purposes, they should be exempt from the imposition of special taxes, especially of the taxation for a special service area.
That's the definition of exempt.
Yeah,
the point is the tax applies to all the properties unless they are exempt.
Correct. Right. I guess it's a converse.
So what we're considering tonight is whether to add or subtract some of the exemptions.
She doesn't have any control.
If we do not add or subtract, by default, they are subject to the tax.
Correct. Or not, depending on their current status.
Alderman Flanagan.
She doesn't have control over the easement, correct?
I imagine that at some point in time she granted an easement. I mean, her predecessor.
Or whoever predecessor, but she still doesn't have control over the easement. So she's, or whoever was given that easement is now allowing those other businesses to use it.
Right. At some point in time, the possessor of that property granted an easement, probably for some consideration, to access these commercial properties.
But you're telling us that the zoning on it is not what constitutes this parcel to be a business. So she should be exempt, or the vacant lot should be exempt. In my logic.
Some of that, then we look at the zoning of what the future use would be. If it's a residential lot and its zoning is residential and it's vacant, we would look at it as going with that zoning district. The fact is that it's commercial, that has commercial zoning and vacant, and that a residential use, a single family residential use could not be constructed on that property.
I understand, but there's no commercial.
We're not. 215 is exempt.
Right. You understand.
217
I understand
is
that
not.
Totally. I understand that totally. Yeah, but the.
But you're saying
I'm
217 should also be exempt.
Right. 217 should also be exempt.
213 and 215.
Or 213. 215 is her home. 213 is the vacant lot.
Or 217, isn't it?
No.
No.
Just clarify it. She was talking about the businesses that were on 217.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So what they're asking for is 213 to be included in the exemption.
Yeah, and that's not something.
Only exemptions are for government properties or residences. It is neither. It does not fit the definition of an exempt property.
Right.
I'm sorry, whether we think it's correct or not, the way that the SSA 1 ordinance is written is it is under the tax unless it fits a very narrow category of exemptions. This property fits neither of the definitions of an exemption. It is a business zone piece of property that is neither a residence nor a governmental entity.
Alderman Hill.
Could the easements be removed legally and then the lot rezoned for residential?
Yes, but, and then rezoned.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I imagine that's possible. I mean, it would be, similarly, it'd be a residential, I think pretty much a residential island, again, in the middle of a commercial area. But
so what Mrs. Karsh will have to do is to remove the easement somehow, legally?
If it's possible, right. But
if it's possible.
Yeah. And again, I think in looking at that, the council would have to look and see if it's buildable lot. It's, you know, as far as setbacks and access to it, I don't think you would find this to be a very buildable single-family lot. I haven't looked at it for bulk standards, but I have a feeling that it would be very difficult to develop this as a single-family residential lot.
City Administrator McKittrich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to point out that you have the ordinance in your packets, and if you look on pages 5 and 6, at the bottom of page 5 and at the top of page 6, it explains that it's through use or zoning. So if it's zoned or used as commercial, then it's assessed.
Gotcha. But that's why I asked about the zoning.
Yes, it's either or. Whether it's zoned or whether it's used, it's recognized as commercial because typically it's going to have a higher land assessment, land value, you know, as commercial, and it's within this designated district.
Thank you for clarifying that because that's what I was trying to.
And if you also, the recording of the easement, I'm assuming that the easement is recorded, and that's something that would have to be looked at in the county's records to see what type of encumbrances, if any, are on that recordation.
I'd like to supplement the easements. I have two easements on the property designated 215, one that goes to 3rd Street and one that goes to Campbell. The property known as 213 has two easements, one that goes to 3rd Street and one to Campbell. And the owner of 217 has an easement from Campbell running across 213 and 215 going to his property. It's L-shaped, so there are three easements on my two parcels of real estate.
Alderman Piper?
Yeah, I just went over and took a look at the map with Dick, and just to put in perspective, this is in the center of the block. She's completely landlocked by...
I am landlocked, yes.
This little piece of property is in the center of everything. I mean, there's no way to get in or out of it.
The easements are for ingress and egress mm-hmm. for my two parcels. I don't know of any other way to drive out, unless it be over somebody else's...
Mm-hmm. Alderman Dungito, do you have a question, sir?
How much money are you talking about when it's not included? Rough idea. I think you had those figures last time we did this.
I don't know, Paul. Do you have those? One of the properties was
for
about $150,000.
I don't have the vacant lot. For the vacant lot, I don't have that handy. I thought at one point I looked at that and I thought it's like $90 or something
per year.
Do you know what you're being taxed on that property? I could check it, but I you know, it's vacant parcels and the ones with houses on it. Some of the properties are paying, you know, $100, $200, and so I'm thinking this one is like. I don't have it, but I can look it up and report back to the council.
Answer your question right here.
Okay. She's got a trip.
This is for the, for two...
For 213. I'll give you that figure. The trustee old checkbook.
What we're asking for is the SSA tax, not the full tax on
the full tax.
Right.
Just so you know.
No, that would be a portion of...
Right, a very small portion.
Okay, I don't have that figure with me, but I think it's too much.
Now we're getting to the cause of the question.
Alderman Pollock, do you have a question?
I'm done. I'm good.
Okay, Alderman Dinkino?
I'm done. Thank you.
Anyone else on the council? Yes, sir. Would you please come up and tell us who you are and your residency, please?
Good evening. My name is Roger Belinsky. My wife and I own the house at 418 South 1st Street, which is in the Dotson Place development. It's in the block bordered by 1st Street, South, 2nd, and Fulton. There are 10 residences in that area. 9 of them were built from the ground up, and the 10th is the Eastview House, which was converted. We didn't know anything about any of this issue until we got the letter from Mr. Evans. And I guess I have three questions. First, has my house been assessed at the business rate, and have we been paying excess taxes since we built the house? Number two, if that's true, will we be included in the exemption? And just as we would probably be expected to pay back taxes if we've been underpaying, can we expect any sort of a credit if this is resolved in our favor?
I can respond to that.
All right. Yes, Mr. Kittredge.
In response to the question, it would be no, no, and yes, I believe. Or yes, yes, and no. Yes, you are included in the proposed exemption. Yes, you have been assessed from the day that it was built, not at the business rate, I think you referred to it. This is an SSA. This is a special service area tax rate in addition to your regular property taxes. Will there be back credit? No.
Okay. Thank you.
May I add, the actual assessment, of course, is nothing to do with the city. We do not have anything to do with your assessed value. That's determined by the county and the county assessor. We only provide a service area tax on the assessment, which comes from the county. So the actual value of your assessment, we have no control over whatsoever.
Any other questions from the council members? Anyone from the audience?
It's been so long. Have we had, we've had a motion and a second on this issue, have we not?
Yes.
Okay, I guess we can have a vote on this. Those in favor, please.
Would that motion be read, please?
Okay, the motion is to consider the removal of exemption and addition of exemption for certain non-residential and residential parcels in Special Service Area Number 1 and authorize certified filings of such with the Kane County Clerk. Okay. Those in favor? We'll have a roll call. All right. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Nay.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Nay.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, I want to change my position from aye to no.
Is that with the concurrence of the council?
It doesn't have to be, but prior to the announcement of the final vote total.
Very, very good.
Thank you.
Will the clerk take note of that, please?
Duly noted.
And the vote now is?
7-2.
7-2 in favor?
I'm sorry? 6-3.
6-3 in favor?
Done.
6-3.
So the motion carries. Now we will go.
Excuse me,
Mr. Pollack.
Can you just explain to them that because it was not a unanimous vote, that it will be heard in its entirety at the city council meeting?
Yeah, yes. The issue will come before the city council. I would suspect at our next council meeting, which is the 2nd of November. And you certainly have an opportunity to address the council again at that time, explaining your views and hopefully trying to change some votes if you may have that challenge.
The meeting
is always at 7 o'clock. I don't know just where it will be placed on the agenda. If we can, we'll try to arrange to have it rather close. We'll have it right at the very top. Okay? All right. We will now go on with the next issue, which is 4H, which is to consider the acceptance of deed and dedication of 502 South Union Street, Geneva, Illinois.
So moved.
Second. Motion made and seconded. Any discussion on this issue? Anyone in the audience? Yes, sir. Please come forward. Let us know your name and address, please.
My name is John Snyder. My wife and I live at 502 Union Street in Geneva. Let me point out that the address that was given you had a south designation. Union Street is an east-west street. There is no South Union.
This
dedication project started back in November of 1992. And I just found out this summer that the city had never completed the paperwork to accept this dedication. My wife and I had signed the necessary papers that Mr. Talisman had sent to us. We returned them to him in November of 92. And then apparently everything stopped.
So what is it, South?
We paid the tax on it.
I'm sorry? And you are looking for an explanation as to why it stopped?
No, not at all. I'm just giving you some background information.
I understand. Okay. Are you in favor of this motion, sir?
Yes.
You are.
This is a relatively small piece of property. We own the 25 feet of former railroad track property that runs to the east of our house. The former owner was given the opportunity to buy the 25 feet of railroad property closest to his property. It was purchased. It turned out that section ran to the northeast to the center of Union Street. So technically right now we own that part of Union Street, the south side of Union Street, into the center. It's been very nice of the city to repave it, rebuild it, and take care of it. I didn't think it was right for me to own that and maybe cause a problem. The reason this was done was back in 92, I think, was when Union Street and May Street were completely reconstructed. There was a curb and gutter improvement.
Sewers.
Storm sewer work was done on the south side of the street. And it was at that point that I discovered that we owned the property out into where they were going to be working on the street. We were going to be assessed a per frontage foot cost for that work. And I've got a rather long front there, and the current alderman at that time worked with us, and we arranged that if we dedicated that property, our bill would be reduced a little bit. And that was the intention, but apparently didn't get through. We'd like to see it finished, and I appreciate the help of the city staff for determining what happened, where the paperwork is, and getting it rolling again.
All right, well, let me ask for clarification here. The motion, as it's being presented, says, consider the acceptance of deed of dedication of 502 South Union Street, Geneva, Illinois. You want to remove the south?
It should be, the address is 502 Union Street.
All right. Do we have a problem with that?
Nope.
No.
That's the address.
Nothing south of Union Street.
So, certainly not going to argue.
All right. So we need an amendment to the motion?
No.
It's on the agenda. The documentation reads 502 Union.
Oh, it does. Okay. There you go. Well, good. Thank you for that clarification.
I understand.
All right. Are there? Yes, Alderman Paul.
Just a question for you, sir. You've been paying that same tax for the last 18 years?
Unfortunately, it would seem so, because the county doesn't have a change in deed. Not to raise a sore point, but it was asked earlier, is there anything like a refund?
No.
It's a very small piece of property.
I'll defer to Mrs. McKittrick.
No.
That was not the intent of doing this. We started this, as I said, back some years ago with the understanding of the city that we were going to get a small reduction in our cost for having the street redone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has occurred. We attempted to fulfill our part of the bargain, but it got dropped somewhere along the way. I think we're on track now.
Well, on behalf of the city of Geneva, I ask you for our forgiveness.
Thank you for your patience.
And your patience. Thank you, sir.
Thank
you. Well, the motion is made and it's been seconded. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Let it be recorded. The vote was unanimous. We are now on aye. We are to consider the agreement with Metra for the operation and maintenance of commuter parking facility located north of the railroad tracks and west of Metra Station in the city of Geneva, Illinois. I need a motion.
Second.
Motion made by Alderman Piper, seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg. Is there a question on this issue from our council members? Anyone from the audience? All right, those in favor then, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Let it be recorded that the vote was unanimous. We are now on 4J. We are to consider the construction engineering services agreement with Engineering Enterprises, Inc. in the amount of $85,092.59 for federal participation for Caneville Road LAPP project.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Alderman Brown, seconded by Alderman Marks. Is there a question on this issue? Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Mr. Singer. Dan? I have to give you and your department credit because you've been competitively bidding just about everything. And when I read this, I noted it was not. And it's for a rather substantial amount of $85,000. And I was wondering, if not, why not?
It's professional services, and we do not bid out professional services.
But you have in the past.
We've done requests for qualifications, but we don't put it out for bids, per se.
But there's nothing prohibiting you from bidding this, correct?
Professional services do not require bidding.
Right, but there's nothing prohibiting you from bidding this out.
Okay. Is there something prohibiting? I believe there actually are laws that prohibit professional services from being bid out. It's one of those things. Are you going to take the low bid on it from your doctor? The low bid from a doctor doing a surgery. Can we bid it out? I suppose we can. These are the same engineers that did the design for it, so in my opinion, it makes sense to have them do the construction engineering for it. And this is not being paid for by city funds. It's being reimbursed by the ARRA funds.
And Dan, I understand what you're saying, and I certainly respect your recommendation. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hold on, Mr. Did you have a question, sir?
Yeah, I was just going to interject. The real question is, why do we choose to go with these guys over? Why do we think they're better than anybody else? He's answered that, so we're good.
Dan, some of this funding is being granted to us through federal agencies, is it? Is there a possibility that some of these fundings can be recaptured in some manner?
All the funds will be recaptured. No funds will. We have to spend. We have to pay first, then we get reimbursed.
Then we'll get reimbursed.
Right.
Yeah, I thought so. Thank you so much. Any other questions? Anyone from the audience? Thank you, Dan. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
All right. Let it be recorded. There was one nay. All right, we are now on 4K to consider draft ordinance amending Title V, which is the Health and Sanitation Chapter 2, which is in reference to the Garbage, Refuse, and Junk Section 5-2-3 collection charges of the City of Geneva Code Leaf Collection beginning fiscal year 2010-11. This is, of course, as you're aware, we have decided upon privatizing our leaf collection next year, and what this will do, of course, is change the ordinance as to the way it was principally written to what it will now be at this point. So is there any questions on this? I beg your pardon?
So moved.
So Alderman Piper, a motion by Alderman Piper, a second?
Second.
Alderman Marks, any question on the issue? Anyone from the audience? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Let it be recorded that the vote was unanimous. We are now on 4L. To consider the Certificate of Acceptance for Geneva Professional Center for Electric ABCO Development.
So moved.
A motion by Mark, seconded by Alderman Vogels. Oh, Alderman Flanagan. Any question on this issue? Anyone from the audience? Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Let it be recorded that the vote was unanimous. We are now on M. Consider the renewal of Geneva Police Pension Fund and Geneva Firefighter Pension Fund Fiduciary Liability Insurance Policy.
So moved.
Motion by Alderman Brown.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
I don't believe that this needs an actual motion. This is for information purposes only. This is not part of our budget. This is it's funding from the investment funds of the police and police pension fund and firefighter pension funds. So we're just bringing this to you for informational purposes only. We really don't have control over them spending this, but it is required by state statutes.
So the board itself funds its own liability insurance,
yes. That's
as
correct.
It should.
Okay.
I withdraw my motion, Mr.
All right.
Mayor Pro Tem.
Yeah, we look upon this as an FYI issue. All right. Thank you, Ms. McKittrich. We there are now on 4N. Consider the one-year contract renewal with Futura Systems, Inc. in the amount of $6,000 for maintenance of Geneva Electric Utility GIS assets. A motion by Alderman Pfeiffer and seconded by Alderman Hill. Any question on this issue from the council members?
Who is that?
Anyone in the audience?
Where's Pete?
Would you like to have a word?
Go back in your room.
Thank you. Please close the door behind you.
Good night, Pete.
All right. Those in favor of the issue, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Let it be recorded that the vote was unanimous. We are now on number 5, which is dealing with new business. Is there any new business to be brought before the City Council this evening? Alderman Pfeiffer.
Just another friendly reminder, if your leaves are in the street, to please move them back into the parkway. They should not be in the street. I think a bunch of reminders went out over the weekend, I understand, as Alderman Marsh told me since I was out of town. There's brush, there's all kinds of things that is going to clog up the sewer, so please move them on the parkway and get them out of the street. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Pfeiffer. Alderman Flanagan.
Oh.
Did you have...
If everybody's still up, I would like to pitch the beautification is on the last 2 weeks of our quilt raffle. It's being displayed at 316 West State Street, so if you're passing by, you can see it in the window. And thanks to Farmers Insurance, William Barkley, for allowing us to do that. Tickets are available at the shop between 9 and 5 on Monday through Friday or through City Hall here. Raffle for the quilt will be on November 7th in front of the post office at 9:30 in the morning. So we only have 2 more weeks, and all the proceeds, again, will go to the purchase of flowers for the downtown area.
Alderman Flanagan, when will the raffle be taking place?
November 7th in front of the Geneva Post Office at 9:30 in the morning.
And how much are the tickets?
Oh, very good question. $5, a mere $5.
Thank you.
For a ticket. Thank you.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to give one final thank you for everyone who voted for the Paul Ruby Foundation for Parkinson's Research, for the Markham Contest, the Markham Market Distinction Online Contest. Tomorrow night, the people from the Markham Winery, the president and his team, are coming out to give the Paul Ruby Foundation a check for $25,000, thanks to everyone's participation in the voting. So they have a wine tasting of Markham wine. So thank you.
Well, certainly there. I think the community should be thanked, as well as you, Alderman Vogelsberg. You've been very instrumental in this program, and you certainly have just done a great thing for this young man. And I'm sure he and his family appreciates it, as well as the City Council. So thank you, too.
Well, thank you. And thank you to all the people who voted. 80,000 votes we got. So that's a lot of people supporting. Thank you. That's what I signed on for.
Are there any other issues of new business before the council? I have a few items. You all have in your possession, in the packet that was presented to you this evening, that the American Education Week is going to be celebrated and by the Geneva Student Government Program at Geneva High School. That's taking place on Tuesday, November the 17th. There will be a luncheon from 11:30 to 12:30 at the Millrace Inn. And then there will be roundtable discussions from 12:45 to 2:15 p.m. immediately following the luncheon that will be held here at Geneva City Hall in the Council Chambers. I also would like you to realize that you have also the information here dealing with the updated report on your strategic planning workshop, which is taking place on November the 8th. So, of course, all the City Council and department heads will be meeting on that Saturday for the annual strategic planning workshop. And you know that's being held right here at the DuPage Airport. Forget what the name is.
7:30.
Right here.
Continental Breakfast is at 7:30. The workshop begins at 8 o'clock. You have a copy of your strategic plan and the memo that I wrote last year regarding the prioritization of goals, and I would ask that you would memorize that. In advance of the workshop. Thank you.
Very good. And the last item of new business is I'd like to remind you that on Sunday, November the 1st, the Villa Verone Restaurant, which is located on Hamilton Street in Geneva, will be hosting the 4th Annual Geneva Veterans Benefit Buffet. That's a $25 per person item. It's sponsored by the Vietnam Veterans of America, Chapter 693. And all the proceeds from this dinner go to fund activities for hospitalized veterans at Heinz Hospital. So hopefully I'll see some of you there. So very good. Anything else? Any other issues to be brought forth at this point in time? If not, I'm looking for a second to
third. Nice job, Ern. Nice job.
Is there a motion, Mr. Pauley?
Yes. So moved.
And a second?
Second.
And okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We stand adjourned. And thank you for your attendance and participation.
And adjourned.
Hey,
I love that.
How you doing, bud? Yes. Because my knees are sore.
Yeah, I believe so.
It was there for quite a while.
Well, we were.
It was there for a decades.
Could be news tonight.
You guys want to come on?
Yes.
No.
Want me to leave the machine here?
Yes.